Check one, check, check. Check, check.
Hello?
Check, check.
Good morning, congregation, and a warm welcome to guests that may be with us this morning, including those that may be with us online. We have a number of announcements from Council. We're reminded that the offerings today will be for the work of deacons locally and abroad. On Thursday, October 18th, our Lord took home to himself our brother Fred Bergsma after a long battle with cancer. We rejoice knowing that he is free from his suffering and has entered into the joy of his master. Yet we also grieve his loss with his wife Seedy and with his children, grandchildren, and other loved ones. The funeral will be held, the Lord willing, on Thursday, October 25th at 1:30 p.m. in the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. There will be a Men's Society meeting on Thursday, studying the Canons, Chapter 1. You were right about the small print. Articles 6 to 11. A letter of withdrawal has been received from Sister Lisa Kienecker. A positive letter of reference regarding her membership has been drawn up and sent to the Westminster Presbyterian Church of America in Jacksonville, Florida. There will be a combined council meeting regarding superannuation with Langley at Creator Christian High School tomorrow at 7 p.m. And this morning we welcome Reverend Dick Mose, Emeritus Pastor of Surrey Covenant Reformed Church, to lead our worship service.
Very good morning to you all. The Lord calls us to worship him with the following words. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Amen. If you're able, would you please rise? Congregation, where does our help come from?
In the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 105, the stanzas 1 and 4.
Amen.
The church has the privilege of living in God's presence and reflecting his presence to those around us. We also do that by keeping the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments of love. So let's listen to these Ten Commandments this morning through the little window of living in God's loving presence and reflecting that loving presence to those around us. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing unfailing love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your manservant or your female servant, your cattle, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. For his manservant, his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And the Lord Jesus Christ summed up so beautifully what living in God's presence and reflecting this presence is all about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments of love hang all the law and the prophets. Let us now sing together Psalm 65, 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Let us unite together in prayer. Eternal Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for being the Lord, the God in whose presence we may live, because you are always present with your people in a very special way, with your steadfast love and faithfulness. And because you are, you travel with us on our journey to the new heaven and the new earth, where we may dwell in the fullness of your loving, light-giving, and life-giving presence. Father, thank you for having demonstrated in the past that you have this loving and faithful commitment to your people. And thank you that you still demonstrate that today, that you also did that during this past week, also to each one of us. And what a reason to praise you and to share with others just what kind of a God you are, worthy to be praised and worthy to be served. Father, thank you that we can also live in your presence in a special way by obediently keeping your commandments through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, who obediently kept your 10 commandments of love, and that he did that for his church, his body, and who now wants to reproduce this obedience in the members of his body when they put him on through faith and live in him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us our lack of faith during this past week. Forgive us for not having lived in the Spirit through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, like we ought to have, and trusting ourselves to him and being open to his guidance, his provision, and his transformation. And because we didn't live that way, we not only failed you, but we also failed ourselves and those whom you called us to love. And so we now ask you to graciously cleanse us with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Graciously liberate us from the power of the flesh that hinders us from living in your Spirit through faith, because it closes us to you and to those whom you have called us to love. And graciously heal and transform us as we increasingly die to our sinful selves and arise to our new selves in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he more and more forms himself in us, enabling us to wholeheartedly entrust ourselves to you and being open to your guidance, your provision, and your transformation. Father, bless now the reading and the proclamation of your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit take the external reading and proclamation and mysteriously bring it to life, so that we all hear you personally and directly speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading is Genesis 22, the verses 1 to 14. Genesis 22, 1 to 14. Isaac has been born. God protects Hagar and Ishmael. And there's a treaty with Abimelech. And then 22, verse 1 begins by saying, "After these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said, 'To this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided.'" One verse from 2 Chronicles 3. I read this verse just to show you the link to the place where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac and the place where the temple was later built. "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem." And then you have Mount Moriah, the same place as we read about in Genesis 22. On Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to David, his father, at the place that David had appointed on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And we could add the same place where Abraham was going to offer up his son. Let us now first sing together Psalm 72, the stanzas 4 and 5. Our text for this morning is Genesis 22, the verses 15 to 18. It's my fourth sermon to you on Abraham, also my last one for now. You'll notice that in our text, we have God speaking about Abraham being blessed and being a blessing. That theme began in Genesis 12 with the calling of Abraham. It continued in Genesis 15 with the covenant, and in Genesis 17, and now it comes back here again, and it's like a little sandwich. 12 and Genesis 22, it kind of ends, and it kind of two bookends, and it shows you that this is the theme of Abraham's life. This is the theme of what it means to be church. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So far. In response to the proclamation of God's word, let us sing together Psalm 18, stanza 15. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I've said it a number of times before, and I'll say it again, because it strikes, it hits at the core of the identity of who we are, and the story of Abraham is all about that, so that's why I'm saying this again. The church has the privilege of living in God's presence in the Spirit through faith, radiating this presence. And another word for God's presence is His glory. Radiating His presence or His glory to those around the church. And it's good to ask ourselves how we did that during this past week, if this is our core identity. And we just heard the Ten Commandments. And by obeying the Ten Commandments, we also live in God's presence. And we radiate this presence or this glory to those around us. And I asked you to listen to the Ten Commandments through that little window. So how did we do that during this past week? Through the little window of the Ten Commandments. For instance, the first commandment, which is foundational for the other nine. The first commandment that says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall place your trust in me alone. And you shall be open to my provision, my guidance, and my transformation by placing your trust in me alone, not closing yourself off from me by placing your trust in things or people in addition to me or instead of me. Because when you do that, then you're going to violate the second, third, and all of the commandments all the way up to the tenth. You're going to covet. You're going to gossip. You're going to steal. You're going to place your trust in someone else's wife or husband, right? You're going to hate and seek revenge. But if you place your trust in me alone, commandment one, and you're open to how I will provide for you, how I will guide you, how I will transform you through the events of life. See, then you are living in my presence. And you are radiating that presence to those around you. How did we do this past week? Simply through the lens, the window of the first commandment. You see, this is what it means to walk before God, as God said to Abraham. Walk before me. That means live in my presence and entrust yourself to me. Live in my spirit through faith, being open to what I give, to what I provide, to how I transform. And this is what it means to be blameless, to wholeheartedly do this. And as I said, Abraham was also called to live in God's presence, in the Spirit, through faith, radiating God's glory, and to do that wholeheartedly. And there's two reasons why God called Abraham to live this way. First of all, there was the immediate reason. Because Abraham was not living in the Spirit through faith in God's presence. But he was living in the flesh. And whenever you live in the flesh, in your own strength, in your own creativity, outside of God, you always close yourself off from what God is willing to give you and how God wants you to live. And so Sarah and Abraham came up with this idea that they would father the child of the promise through Hagar. See, they weren't living in the Spirit through faith and trusting themselves to God. But they were living in their own strength, in the flesh. So that's the immediate reason why God said to Abraham, walk before me. Live in my presence. But there's also the overriding reason why Abraham is called to do that. God made a promise to Abraham that he would bless him and that all the families of the earth would be blessed in Abraham. Meaning in Abraham's offspring, the ultimate seed being the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And the only way that Abraham and Abraham's family, which is the church, would be able to be a blessing to the nations would be if Abraham and his offspring would live in the Spirit by faith. And trusting themselves freely, uninhibitedly to the Lord. That was Abraham's privilege. And that is the privilege of the church. Now in the verses preceding our text, God puts Abraham's wholeheartedness of living in the Spirit through faith to the test. It is as if God is saying to Abraham, will you live in my Spirit through faith, in my presence, even if I command you to sacrifice your only son? You hear echoes of Jesus already, the son whom you love, another echo of Jesus, so that I can use you to be a blessing to the nations, and you can be my redemptive representative in this world for the salvation of the world. What a test! Abram had to wait 25 years for Isaac, the only son he had. And if he lost this son, how could his seed be a blessing for the world? He wouldn't have any seed because his family tree was cut off. What a test. Moreover, sacrificing children is what the Canaanites did. How could God, the Lord, command him to do this? Yet Abraham, precisely because he lived in God's presence, in the Spirit, through faith, and that little line keeps coming back in the sermon, in the Spirit, through faith, and that simply means you entrust yourself to the Lord, and you are open to what the Lord is going to provide for you and how he's going to guide you and how he's going to transform your life as you live that way. Now, because Abraham, by God's grace, was willing to live this way, he was willing to offer up Isaac, his only son. You see that, for instance, in Abraham's immediate departure. You see that in what Abraham says to his servants. Look, the boy and I are going to come back. And you see that in Abraham's raising of his knife. precisely because he lived in the Spirit by faith. He was able to do what God called him to do. And because he did, God intervenes and calls the sacrifice off. Abram offers a ram instead of Isaac. God did not have to raise Isaac from the dead, as Abram thought. Hebrews 11 tells us that by faith, Abram did this because he thought, look, God's going to raise up Isaac from the dead. God didn't have to do that. God provided a ram instead of Isaac. So Abraham named the place where this happened, "The Lord will provide." The Lord. All capital letters. And children, when you see that in the Bible, "The Lord," all capital letters, that's like a code. That's code word. Code word for the God who is there. I am who I am. The God who is there. The God who is with us. The God in whose presence we live. The God who hears us. The God who sees us. The God who knows us. The God who comes down from heaven and does something about the difficulties in which we are living. The God in whose presence we can live in the Spirit by faith. He will provide. He will enable Abraham to be a blessing for the nations. This God will enable Abraham to be God's redemptive representative in the world for the sake of the world, the salvation of the world. And then God rewards this faith with the words of our text. And it's summed up in our theme. God guarantees to bless the nations through the church when it wholeheartedly lives in his presence in the Spirit, through faith. Notice that our text, as I already told you, repeats the words of Genesis 12, 15, and 17. I will bless you, chapter 12. I will multiply your offspring, Genesis 15, like the stars of heaven and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring shall possess the gates of your enemies, Genesis 15. In your offspring shall all the nations be blessed, Genesis 12, Genesis 17. Why? Because you have obeyed my voice. This is what God wants to see. He wanted to see this in Abraham, and he wants to see this in you and in me. God promises to bless the nations when the church lives in his presence in the Spirit through faith, obediently entrusting itself to God, and really being open and expectant to what God is going to say, what God is going to do, and how God is going to transform us in the process. And then God guarantees his promise with an oath, a verbal oath. Now, oaths always contain blessings, a blessing element, and a curse element. And the blessing element you have in our text, I will bless you, and so forth. But when there's a curse element, the oath swearer calls a curse down upon himself if he does not fulfill the blessing. May such and such happen to me if I don't live up to the promise that I just made? Now, the curse can be verbal, or the verse can be ritually enacted. And you remember Genesis 15, where God made his first covenant with Abram. And Abram had to cut these animals in half. And then God goes through this street of blood between these two animals. That is a ritual enactment of the curse. Because there was no verbal curse in Genesis 15. God is saying, may I be cut in half if I don't fulfill my promise to you, Abraham. Now in our text of this morning, you have the blessing, the words of blessing, but you don't have the verbal curse. And so the question is legitimate. Where is the ritual enactment of the curse? And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that we see the ritual enactment of the curse in the verses immediately preceding our text, in the verses 1 to 14, in Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac, and in Isaac's willingness to be sacrificed. You see that because our text begins, now that I've seen that you have not withheld your only son, and then come the blessings. The two are linked. And you know what God is doing here when he makes this oath? And we only hear the words of blessing. But we have the story of Abraham willing to offer up Isaac, and Isaac willing to be bound. Do you know what God is doing here when he makes this oath, which includes a curse? God is saying that he assumes responsibility. I will assume responsibility, God is saying, to bless the nations through Abraham's seed, even if it means bearing the curse in order to remove what blocks the fulfillment of the promise of blessing. That's ritually enacted in Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac's willingness to be bound to the altar. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, what an encouragement this must have been for Abraham? Abraham could say to himself, my seed will be God's redemptive representative in Canaan. When it lives in God's presence in the Spirit through faith, God guaranteed this with an oath. And if sin gets in the way of fulfilling this promise, then God himself will bear the curse to remove what hinders in fulfilling the promise that was guaranteed with an oath. That's amazing. Can you imagine the encouragement this must have been for the Israelites standing on the plains of Moab, the first readers, the first hearers of the Pentateuch, also our text, and they're going to conquer the land, and they have the command and the privilege of being a blessing to the nations, right? Passing on this blessing. What an encouragement that must have been when they heard this story of Abraham offering up Isaac, willing to do that, and then God calling it off, and then God saying, because you were willing to do this, now I swear with an oath, God's going to use them to be a blessing for the nations. And if God doesn't use them because of their sin, God himself somehow in the future will bear the curse for that, so that that can be removed And Abraham's seed can as yet still be a blessing for the nations. Can you imagine the encouragement our text must have been for the people living at the time of David and Solomon? During David's reign and Solomon's reign, we read in the scriptures that the Israelites possessed the gates of their enemies, and the nations came to Solomon to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The Israelites living during David and Solomon's time, they saw a partial fulfillment of God's promise made in our text, guaranteed with an oath that God would bless the nations when the church lives in God's presence in the Spirit through faith, simply entrusting itself to God and being open to God's guidance, God's provision, and God's transformation. And can you imagine the encouragement our text must have been for the Israelites who returned from the Babylonian exile? Another chance to be a source of blessing for the nations. If, this is the stickler, if we live in God's presence, in the Spirit, through faith. And now the encouragement becomes even greater, brothers and sisters, when you and I consider that no one wholeheartedly lives in God's presence, in the Spirit, through faith. And because no one wholeheartedly lives in God's presence, in the Spirit, through faith, what does God do? God comes down from heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He Himself bore the curse of His covenant oath to remove what was obstructing the fulfillment of His promise that He had sealed with an oath. As Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son whom he loved, so the Father did sacrifice His only son whom He loved. Why? So that the world could be blessed in Him, in that Son. And as Isaac allowed himself to be bound as a sacrifice, so the Lord Jesus Christ allowed Himself to be bound and nailed to the cross as a sacrifice, removing what blocked the fulfillment of God's promise sealed with an oath, so that the world could be blessed through faith in Jesus. And you know where this happened? This happened on Mount Moriah, later called Mount Zion. This happened in Jerusalem. Indeed, as the last verse before our text says, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. It's amazing. I come back to the beginning. How well did you do during this past week of living in God's presence, in the Spirit, through faith? Just entrusting yourself to the Lord, the I am who I am, the God who sees, hears, knows, and just being open to what this Lord is willing to give you, how He's willing to guide you, how He's willing to transform you. How well did I do? How well did you do It's important to ask that question because this is who we are. That is why we're here. The church is God's redemptive representative for the sake of the world, for the sake of the salvation of the world. The world needs redemption. And God has given you redemption. He's given me redemption. And He wants the church to be a channel of the redemption that we have received. Because God wants a big family of sons and daughters, of every nation, tribe, people, and language. That's what He wants. And the only way that you and I can be a channel of that blessing to the people of the world is if we live in the Spirit through faith and not in the flesh. Not trusting ourselves. Not willing to be open to God. But closing ourselves off to God. It doesn't happen that way. How well did we do? Well, the good news is this morning that in the light of our text, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and to me, He says, you know what? I always lived in my Father's presence, in the Spirit, through faith. Just entrusting myself to the Father, being open and expectant to what the Father is going to give. I did that with my life and with my death. And in doing so, I defeated the powers of sin and the devil that hindered Abraham's seed, including you and me, that hindered Abraham's seed from being a blessing for the world. I took that away. And I did it for you. And what I've done for you, I want to do in you as you live in my Spirit through faith. Just entrust yourself to me. Just like you're entrusting yourself to the pew, right? It's an old little saying that I've told you before. You're just trusting the pew. It's going to hold you up, right? Just entrust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Being open to what He gives. You know, when you do that, Jesus says, then a miracle takes place. A slow, incrementally growing miracle begins to take place in your life. You will joyfully notice that you will indeed, slowly but surely, begin to be my redemptive representative in the world. Radiating my presence, which is synonym for my glory. Because you no longer live in the flesh, but you live in the Spirit. Through faith. Amen. Once the offering has been taken, let us sing together hymn 69. Let us unite together in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice of his life and the sacrifice of his death. Thank you that he did for his church what we did not and could not do. Live in your presence, in the Spirit through faith, wholeheartedly, and reflect your glory. Thank you, Father, that he bore the curse for all of our failure to wholeheartedly live in your presence and be your redemptive representatives in this world for the sake of the salvation of the world. And Father, we thank you for the mystery of godliness, the mystery of holiness, the mystery of sanctification, that as we live in Christ, in the Spirit through faith, the Lord Jesus himself, by his Spirit, reproduces in us what he has done for us. Father, we pray for the world that you created and love. We pray for all those who do not want to live in your Spirit through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but intentionally live in the flesh, closing themselves to you and to the other. Father, open their eyes to the futility of living apart from you and not being open to your guiding, providing, and transforming presence. And so, Father, we ask you, bless all work of mission, bless it abundantly, and also all work of evangelism, also among the Jews and the Muslims. Father, we pray for all those who are suffering in this world. This morning we think of all those who suffer because of lack of sufficient food. And this morning we think especially of the 13 million or so people living in Yemen who daily struggle to get by with sufficient food and whose outlook is very dire. Father, bless what is being done to bring about a change in their situation and the situation of others. Especially, draw them to the Lord Jesus, in whom their only comfort can be found. Father, we pray for your church universal, especially those who suffer because they bear the name of Christ. Enable them to persevere by living in the Spirit through faith and trusting themselves to you and being open to your provision and your strength. Father, we pray for all who bear responsibility for government. May your hand of blessing rest upon all those who were elected in the municipal elections yesterday. And may your hand of blessing enable them to govern well. Father, we pray for the needs of this local congregation. Grant a special blessing to the housebound. Also a special blessing to those who are grieving. And this morning we heard that you took to yourself our brother Fred Bergsma. Bless the Bergsma family and all others who grieve his passing. Would you graciously, Father, out of the inexhaustible riches of your grace. Grant what is needed during this time of loss and grief. We pray for the weak and the ill. Our brother Martin Beisterveld from Langley heard this morning that a suitable lung has been found for a lung transplant that he needs. Father, we thank you for your divine providence in this. And should our brother be operated on this week, or even later, we pray that you would bless the surgery whenever it takes place. And that you would also grant the healing and the well-being that our brother and his family desire. Father, we pray for those who will be celebrating birthdays, if it is your will this week, for our brother Alan Slump and our brother Mark Mustard. Thank you for who they are. And thank you, Father, for your work of grace in their lives. Grant them festive days as they also celebrate your grace and your love and provision in their lives. We thank you, Father, that our brother and sister Artemary Grimm hope to celebrate an anniversary this week. And our brother and sister Lucas and Janice Ninkow hope to do the same. Thank you, Father, for having provided out of the riches of your grace in the lives of these couples as well, that there is so much to give you thanks for. And we pray, Father, that you would enable them to celebrate and give thanks out of the bottom of their hearts. And continue to enable these couples to be a blessing for one another and channels of your blessing to those whom you place on their path. And Father, we pray that you would bless the search for a new pastor for this congregation, that you would bless the leadership of the church in leading well and wisely, and that your hand of blessing would rest upon this whole congregation as it continues the journey together to the new heaven and the new earth. Hear us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn 8. Receive the blessing of the Lord in faith and be a channel of this blessing for those around you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.